Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill. I'm at my home in Clemens, North Carolina. It is a beautiful fall day. I can't believe this weather. Love the leaves changing and falling. I hope you guys are enjoying the season two. We have a great show planned for you. First of all, we're going to have homeschool news. I'm going to tell you about a couple of holiday field trips coming up. Tis the season. And I'm also going to tell you a little bit about the fall edition of Greenhouse Magazine that has come out. And we have a couple of legislative updates. Also, in homeschool conversations, I'm going to show you the rest of my conversation with Jessica Frierson, who is on our NCHE team, on our board of directors. And we're going to talk about how to take full advantage of the flexibility that comes with homeschooling. We have another homeschool conversation between Luz Velasquez. She is one of our multicultural liaisons, and Karim Morato. She is the HSLDA Hispanic coordinator or outreach person. And they have a great conversation in Spanish about helping every person homeschool, especially Spanish speakers. We're also going to have wisdom from the word, and we're going to look in Philippians about what does a godly friendship look like. And finally, we're going to have homeschool helps with Amanda, and she's going to start a brand new series on homeschooling high school. That's a big topic. And she's going to start out with where do we begin and what are our priorities? Okay, for homeschool news, we're going to start off with some legislative updates. One of them is very good news, which is related to HB 600. If you remember, this is the bill that exempts homeschool co-ops from child care regulations. Now, the General Assembly voted to override the governor's veto. So it passed. The governor vetoed it, but the General Assembly did an override of that. Therefore, homeschool co-ops are now exempt from child care regulations. So that's good news for our co-ops. Another bit of good news comes from the legislation that we helped get going for AP and PSAT testing in high schools. If you remember, homeschool students were not being allowed to do that. So we helped initiate a bill. Unfortunately, the bill passed the General Assembly. And since the governor didn't sign or veto, it became law on October 2nd. Therefore, the AP and PSAT tests can be taken at the local public schools. Now, you might want to be aware that most high schools aren't aware of this legislation. So if you contact your local high school about the tests, you will probably have to explain that this is now in the was in the budget and is now legislation. But that's a great win for homeschoolers. And I just want to continue to let you know how awesome our legislative team is. Spencer Mason's our legislative director. He's been doing this for years. He's done an amazing job along with the committee. And they saw this problem and they attacked it. Knowing that we needed this legislation, they initiated it and have walked it through the whole way. So bravo to our team. We're so thankful for the work that they do. I also want to tell you that we have a couple of fun holiday field trips coming up. One of them is the Elf musical. Elf the musical, you know, the movie that we all watch every year. This is in Asheville, North Carolina on December 19th. Join NCHE and other homeschool families for this fun romp through the North Pole and New York City. Tickets can be ordered through Thursday, November 16th, or while supplies last. So another update on holiday field trips is the Nutcracker. This is something that's become very popular. The update is tickets are sold out. However, we may be able to get more tickets. So if you would like to go to the Charlotte Ballet's performance of the Nutcracker on December 15th, you might want to get on the waiting list. And how you do that is by emailing Evelyn Bickley at evelyn.bickley@nche.com. And last is I want to make sure that you know about the fall edition of the Greenhouse Magazine. This is the magazine that we put out in the spring and fall and for graduation. This is a really fantastic edition. And I'm telling you, this is really a beautiful magazine with fantastic layouts. And you're going to want to check this out. But here's the deal. Do you know who gets an NCHE Greenhouse Magazine? Two people. members or donors. Right now, we are in the middle of our fall membership promotion, right? And so we want you to know about membership. One of the best ways to get the Greenhouse Magazine is by becoming an NCHE member. But this comes with a lot of other wonderful benefits, like a mentor meeting, all sorts of discounts. And you want to check out, if you have any graduates coming up this spring, we have a ceremony, we have diplomas, we have everything you need, scholarships. So go to nche.com/join and find out everything that's related to becoming a member of NCHE. We love serving all homeschool families in North Carolina, but if you want the very best opportunities, information, and resources, then you want to become an NCHE member. So now we're going to go into homeschool conversations. And as I mentioned, the first conversation is we're going to listen to the end of my conversation with Jessica Frierson, who's on our NCHE board. We're going to talk about how to take full advantage of all of the flexibility that comes with home education. So let's check this out. All right, well, we're coming into the fall. People are starting school up again. Yes. If they're on that schedule.
Right.
Because we don't have to be on a schedule.
That's right.
For homeschooling in North Carolina.
Do whatever schedule works for us.
But as people are starting up, what would you think of as any advice or encouragement for parents in general, maybe new parents? I just remembered at the conference this year, I would say a third or more were first time attendees.
Really?
When I had them raise
great.
Their hands.
Right.
So there are a lot of new homeschoolers out there, I think.
Yeah, so what I would say is that flexibility, that freedom that we have here in North Carolina in homeschooling our children, that we can customize our schedule, our approach, the materials we use. I was thinking about it as like, you know, you say you take a young woman, a bride, she's planning her wedding. Does she go and buy a one-size-fits-all dress? No bride has ever bought a one-size-fits-all dress, right? You go and you look at maybe hundreds of dresses, and you pick the one that's right for you. And even then, you're probably going
to
get sent to a
to
tailor
get fitted, yeah.
and get it fitted.
Yeah, it's not going
to
fit you.
Just for you, right? And everything about that wedding, you decide what's going to work for us as the new couple. Homeschooling is like that. We don't have to take a one-size-fits-all education. Mm-hmm. We don't take one-size-fits-all curriculum. We don't use a one-size-fits-all schedule. It's customized for what we have, our family decided works best for us. So yes, we may be starting our school year in the fall, but if we do, that's because we've decided that's what will work for us. It may be that we're part of year-round cycle and maybe we're coming off of a break and going back for the year. I know we've done that sometimes in our family. This year, we actually are starting. We're starting Monday.
Okay.
But still, it's going to be on a schedule that customized to what we have. Mm-hmm. You know, when I plan our school schedule, I look at our family calendar. What's coming up in the next few months for our family? And as that changes, so will our school calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's because we want to take this fun trip or somebody got sick or... hey, we're just really tired. We need to take a break that we didn't have planned.
We're all sick this week.
Yeah. And we'll just, you know, reconvene when we need to.
That's right.
So that's what I would say to those considering homeschooling and even those who are homeschooling and feeling like you're kind of spinning your wheels or stuck in a rut is just remember that freedom that you have and customize your homeschool for what fits your family and each child that you have individually.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the benefits and drawbacks of the curriculum, which is like ready out of the box, you know?
Right.
And I would say if you're just getting started, those aren't bad.
Right.
Because you just get started.
Right.
Somebody has already thought of things.
Right.
You don't have to go that route. A lot of people piece their stuff together and that's wonderful. But it is okay to say, I'm going to get this box set.
Sure.
I'm going to start off, but here's the bad news. It won't work. I mean,
you're going to
have to change some stuff.
You will, right.
But that's perfectly fine. You should expect that. You shouldn't feel like, oh no, I'm messing up, because
right.
you should know I'm going to change this.
Right. Even if you do use that boxed curriculum, that doesn't mean you have to do it the way they set it up for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do every page and every book. And I would say that most people who use that in their first year leave it behind by the second year, if they made it to the end of the first year.
With it.
Yeah. Right, right. So don't feel like you're locked in.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's the economics of it. You know, you think, oh, man, I just spent all this money on that.
Yeah.
I would suggest that even if you're thinking that, if this is really not working.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Put it down and find a free resource.
Yeah.
And go to the library or look online. There's so many free resources, or use what you can of those things. Maybe you're going to skip some lesson. You're going to use the information in a different way. But use that freedom that you have, that flexibility to do whatever you want with it. And then come to the conference next May, visit our vendor hall, and pick out what you've learned from this year to help you shape and decide what you want for next year.
That's right. Well, it's great to know that we have the freedom and ability to understand where our kids are, what their needs are, what our needs are, families' needs are, and customize it in that way. So we continue to encourage you to take full advantage of that. Sometimes that may feel like a little extra work, but it's really worth it.
It is. It's worth it in the end. Sometimes you think it's going to be more work, but it ends up being less. It's less work than
something
that's ill-fitting.
That doesn't work.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. All right, good. Well, thanks for chatting with me.
Yes. Always nice to be here.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Now, the next conversation I want to tell you about happened at the HSLDA Homeschool Leaders Conference in Black Mountain at Ridgecrest just last month. And Luz Velasquez, our Hispanic multicultural liaison, was talking to Karim Marato, who is the Hispanic coordinator for HSLDA. And they're talking about how important it is for us to reach out to Hispanic families. And they have a great conversation in Spanish. So if you have a Spanish-speaking friend who's not listening to this show or this episode, you want to forward this to them. So let's see what they have to say about it.
Hello, homeschoolers. How are you? ¿Cómo están? We are here at the National Leadership Homeschool Conference, and we are so excited because I get to meet my friend Luz Velasquez from North Carolina, and we want to talk a little bit about what we're doing and why we're doing it. So we are here meeting all the leaders that are helping shape the homeschool movement, but our main goal is to make homeschool possible for everyone. And when we say everyone, we want to include the Hispanic families. And this is why Luz Velasquez and myself, Karim Morato, I am the Hispanic coordinator from HSLDA. And Luz Velasquez, tell them who you are.
I am the multicultural liaison for NCHE, North Carolinians for Home Education.
Yes, and we are joining forces because we want to reach parents, Hispanic parents that want to homeschool, have questions, or maybe you are already homeschooling and you want to connect with the community. And we want to do it in Spanish too. So sometimes as Hispanics, we speak English with an accent, but we speak English. But we want to also share the information about homeschooling in Spanish. So why we don't switch to Spanish?
Yeah,
so everybody
switch.
Please follow along. Because we want to speak to those Hispanic families in the North Carolina area, Carolina del Norte. And Luz, why you don't tell them a little bit in Spanish, what do you do and how you guys are reaching out to the multicultural families of North Carolina?
Bueno, así es, Karim, gracias. Esto es una super oportunidad. Estamos trabajando no solamente con la comunidad hispana per se, sino pues multicultural, como bien lo dice el título, ¿verdad? Son la liaison multicultural. ¿Qué hacemos? Estamos aquí. Te dejamos saber, ¿verdad?, que estamos dispuestos, que estamos alerta a todo lo que está pasando con el movimiento de homeschooling. Sabemos que la comunidad hispana se está informando, se está integrando a este movimiento. Sabemos que es algo que no está dentro de nuestra cultura, ¿verdad? Por lo general, los hispanos no hacían homeschooling, ¿verdad? A raíz de la situación de la pandemia y eso, pues ya se están interesando más y queremos que tengan la información correcta, que vayas a la fuente correcta, porque esto puede ser, Karin, un poco abrumador, ¿verdad? Si te vas mucho en Google.
Porque muchos este dirán, yo ser la maestra de mis hijos. Y yo les digo una cosa, ya he graduado a dos que están en la universidad y estoy por graduar en los próximos 4 años a la última. Y sí se puede, porque uno como el papá no solamente es el maestro, pero no tiene que ser solo el maestro. Podemos conectarlos a otros recursos académicos. Claro, y no solamente académicos. Por ejemplo, si cuéntales un poquito lo que hace tu hijo.
Pues mira, como dice Karin, no necesariamente tiene que ser todo académico y no todo lo tiene que hacer usted. Si esa es su duda y su temor, sepa que no, que usted puede tener tutores, claro que sí, y puede añadirle a los niños, a sus hijos, cosas como música, arte,
deportes,
áreas culinarias, ese tipo de desarrollar. Mi línea, en lo personal, por ejemplo, un poco de mi testimonio, es que ayuda a mi hijo a que busque su llamado en el Señor y que vaya hacia ese propósito, educándolo con propósito, en propósito para el propósito. Y entonces se le dan esas herramientas según el propósito y el llamado y los talentos que usted ve en sus hijos. Esto se trata de desarrollar el talento de los niños. Se trata, Karin, de alimentar, ¿verdad? Esa hambre que ellos nos demuestran a nosotros, si quieren ser artistas, si quieren ser financistas, ¿verdad? Contables. Es shape them, ¿verdad? Afilarles, ¿no?
Y lo lindo, padres, es que lo pueden hacer en inglés y en español.
Exacto.
Pueden educar hijos bilingües. Así que,
claro que
sí. Si les invitamos a que visiten el sitio web de la asociación. ¿Puedes decirle a los padres cómo se llama la asociación?
NCHE.com. nche.com. Vamos a tratar de ponerlo, ¿verdad?
Vamos a ponerlo aquí,
de este video y la de Échese Audiencia.
Y no se pierdan la conferencia que viene. ¿Cuándo es la próxima conferencia?
Del 25 al 27 de mayo del próximo año.
Y aquí es donde ustedes tienen que venir para no solamente adquirir la información que necesitan de cómo empezar, cómo terminar y cómo hacerlo durante el año, pero conectarse con la comunidad multicultural de Carolina del Norte y conocer a Luz y hablar con ella en español.
En español para ti, NCHE, en español para ti. ¿Es posible hacer homeschooling de forma bilingüe en Estados Unidos? Claro que sí. El homeschooling no se limita a que usted se quede en su casa, no se limite. Salga, les esperamos.
Así que visítenos y gracias por escucharnos. Hasta luego.
Chao.
All right, it's time once again for some wisdom from the Word. We started last week to talk about godly friendships and how important they are. And as I told you, I was teaching at a church retreat about godly friendship with my first godly friend from high school, Jared Scott. And it was his church. He's the pastor of the church that I was speaking with. And I told a story that I'd like to share with you about the time he called me up and said, "Matt, I really need to talk to you." And so he came over to my house and he began to share with me how fearful he was that God wanted him to be a pastor. What was so interesting is he had already surrendered to a call to ministry, but he was saying, "Lord, I will be anything you want me to be, just not a pastor." And it was interesting because his dad was a pastor. He grew up in church as a pastor's kid. So I think that influenced him. But I want to tell you what happened. I was there for him. We talked about it, and we ended up on our knees in my living room, crying and praying. And right there, Jared surrendered his life to doing anything God wanted him to do, even pastoral ministry. Fast forward a few years later when we were in college as roommates, and I had been sensing that God was calling me to marry my wife now, who's now my wife, Dana. And because of some past relationships of stuff, I was really struggling with this because I was a little bit fearful. And so, but I went to my friend Jared and I said, "Jared, I really think God is leading me to marry Dana." And he laughed at me And I said, why are you laughing at me? This isn't funny. And he said, I know you're supposed to marry Dana. You're just now figuring this out. Anyway, that was important to me, right? Because it was a confirmation, and it was that one of my godly friends saw how God was leading my life. And I want to share this story, these stories with you because they're a picture. Who would you go to? Who would you go to if you had a really deep internal struggle? I want to suggest that that is who a real godly friend is. Someone that you would go to with your deepest questions and struggles. And so I want to ask you, do you have a godly friend like that? We were studying Philippians, and I was amazed as I looked through Philippians to see all the scriptures that described what a good godly friendship was like. And I just want to mention a few of those qualities now. I'm not going to read all the verses to you because it goes throughout the whole book. But I want you to consider these qualities, partly to ask yourself, do you really have a godly friend? And number two, how to build a godly friendship and how to find one or to create one if you don't have one. So here are some of the qualities. First is the basis for godly friendship is Jesus Christ. And we see this in Philippians 2, 1 and 2, where it talks about being in full accord and of one mind. And the basis of that was the gospel. And so you can have a lot of friends, but a godly friendship is one that's based on your shared love and faith in Jesus Christ. Another thing that we do is we take care of each other. As it says in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, we look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. It's wonderful to have friends who take care of you, who know your needs. Another one is we keep in touch and we spend time together. I love all the descriptions in Philippians about how he's writing this letter so that he can send news, and he got news from Epaphroditus, and he's sending Timothy, but not until he gets enough news to tell them how he is. And so, you know, they weren't texting and calling, right? They're sending messengers, but they're staying in touch. And then he says, and I want to come visit you. And so they're visiting each other, so they're staying in touch with each other. And that's a precious gift of friendship as well. We remember to pray for each other. Paul said, I pray for you all the time when I remember you. And that's what a godly friend does. They're consistently praying for each other. Another is that godly friends are on mission together. We acknowledge that in Christ, we are seeking to fulfill his mission. In Philippians 1:5, it talks about being partners in the gospel, and we support each other in that mission. Another is brotherly affection. And Paul just talks about how he earnestly longs for them and he loves them. And so you just imagine big hugs, you know, and such affection. And this is a part of godly friendship. We bear one another's burdens, as the Philippians helped Paul out in his time of financial crisis. We help each other grow. Paul says that he is, even though he would want to go to be in heaven, he's going to stay here on earth in this body, as he says, in order to help the Philippians grow in their walk. We fight the spiritual battle together. And last, we hold one another accountable in truth and righteousness. And this is a hard one. And that is, do we give each other permission to tell each other the truth and to confront each other for things that may not be right in our lives? That is a real godly friend. So I hope this is encouraging to you. We need to have real godly friendships in our lives. And a lot of us are surrounded by people, but actually isolated. A lot of us have acquaintances and people we have fun with, but not godly friends. So I hope you will pray for and seek to have a godly friend in your life.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. So today we are going to start a short series about homeschooling high school. Now, there were two times in my 19 years of homeschooling that I kind of freaked out or had a little nervous, scared moment. One was when I was making the decision to actually start homeschooling. And number two was when my oldest daughter was in eighth grade and we were contemplating homeschooling for high school. Now, I know. I remember that feeling. It feels so big. I don't know why it feels so scary, but it does, because maybe because high school seems like more weighty, like it really will affect the rest of their life and you don't want to screw it up. I get that. I 100% understand. So my goal in these next few segments is to help you relax, to help you feel more confident and ready to move forward into homeschooling for high school. The first thing I want to tell you is, honestly, homeschooling high school is not different than homeschooling middle school or elementary school. It's really not. Perhaps there is some more record keeping involved, a little more documentation, but the actual process, what you're actually doing in teaching your children, in discipling them, in living your life, having your lifestyle of learning with them, does not change. It is the same the day they end eighth grade and the day they start ninth grade. Nothing has changed, except perhaps you will have a little more record keeping or documentation to do. So that's my first encouragement for you. Don't give in to that fear that it's so different and so big and scary. I realize that it feels big. But once you get into it, I think you'll realize, you'll settle in, you'll feel comfortable, and you'll know that it's really not any different than what you were doing the year before. So my first encouragement for people when I talk to them about homeschooling high school is, begin with the end in mind. So when you're thinking about high school, you want to look ahead. And I know that's hard. I have a 14-year-old right now myself, and I can't even hardly imagine him having graduated. It's hard to look ahead and know with any kind of certainty at all what they're going to be doing 4 years from now. It's really impossible to know that. But what you want to do, what I mean by begin with the end in mind, is look ahead and think, is this child certainly headed for a four-year university? Maybe. So you would develop a loose, flexible four-year plan based on that. Is this child definitely not headed for any further education after high school? Perhaps there's some special needs involved. Perhaps there's just some other things, other reasons, other family dynamics, whatever it may be, that you know that the next step for this student is not a four-year university. Then you're going to make your loose four-year plan based on that. I know a lot of families that, for their family, their values, their plan, how they want to do things, if their child continues education after high school, it will begin with the community college. And if they need more education after that, then they may transfer to a four-year university, but it is definitely not going to start there. And the plan for those families looks different than a plan for a family whose student is going to be applying to a four-year university. Okay? So that's my first encouragement. Begin with the end in mind. And in the next couple of segments, I will talk more specifically about step-by-step how you do that, what it looks like. But two things from today: begin with the end in mind, and know that homeschooling high school really isn't any different than homeschooling middle school or elementary school. I really hope that helps today.
Thanks again for being with us this week. I hope this show was super encouraging. and equipping to you in your homeschool journey. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or things you'd like us to talk about, you can email us at thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. You can also go to our webpage, nche.com/thehomeschoolshow, to find out how to subscribe on YouTube and on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else. And we would love it if you would do us a favor and let somebody know. Think of somebody who might benefit from the things that you heard today. A friend, a family member, someone who's interested in homeschooling, and share this show with them. And we'd appreciate that. So until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy. You had a really deep internal struggle about a major life question like this, you know? Who would you... Go on.